good. Thank you, Andrea, for that. Special. I remember the first year that I was here, getting ready for a team soul winning meeting at about 3:20 on the Tuesday afternoon. I remember looking out through those windows upstairs, waiting for the teenagers to come and come from the. They were playing in the gym, the old gym, and they were going to come over to the upstairs to have a meeting for soul winning. And so while I was looking across the parking lot, I remember my wife coming from the gym to the church, and she was carrying a big tote. And I remember Luke opening up the door for her, and then shortly after he opened up the door, he asked her if I couldn't hear him, but he took the tote from my wife and brought it over to the church so that she didn't have to carry that. And I remember looking out the window and seeing that take place and thought, wow, that is a gentleman and that is a teenager that has others on their mind, on his mind. And it just blessed my heart watching that, and I will never forget that memory. And so I'm very excited about Luke coming and preaching for us tonight, and I'm excited to hear what the Lord has laid on his heart. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then when I'm done praying, the special will come, and or as I'm praying, the special will come, and then after the special, Luke will come and give us the message God has laid on his heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the music that we've heard tonight. Lord, we've been able to lift our voice. We've been able to sing about you, Lord, and our hearts are encouraged and we're stirred, Lord. Now, God, we are come to the most exciting part of the service, and that is to hear your word preached. So, God, I pray that we would come with our hearts open and ready to receive your message for us tonight. Bless the special and the messages to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Seekers. take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll read the first two verses in this chapter. I was kind of hoping that was one of those songs that had about 18 verses, and they repeat the chorus, you know, a million times. But, oh, well, that was good, Ryan and Sarah. Thank you for that. Just to explain a little bit about the message here, a few years ago, while reading through the Bible, I came across these verses, and they spoke to my heart. They spoke to my heart enough that I claimed them as my life verses, as some people do. When I heard that I was going to get to preach tonight, there were several subjects that were going through my mind. You know, what do I preach on? You have one opportunity to preach. And the Lord kind of settled in my heart, and I got peace about this message, and so that's what I want to preach on tonight. I appreciate the opportunity that my dad has given Ben and me to preach tonight. I don't take it lightly. I'm not sure what he was thinking, giving a guy who's 5 weeks from marriage and 6 weeks from marriage a chance to stand up here. That could be dangerous. So if I say something that doesn't make sense tonight, then that's what I'm going to blame it on, the fact that I'm getting married. But I do appreciate him letting us do this. And before I get started, I guess because it's Father's Day, I felt burdened or led to say this a little bit. And I know this is going to sound biased, and if my dad was here, he wouldn't want me to say it, but he's not here, so he can't stop me. So there's times it can be difficult to separate Luke Angel, the son of Terry Angel, from Luke Angel, member of Faith Baptist Church. And when I thought about that, I was like, man, I've been going to this church for over 20 years, you know. If something's been here for 20 years, it makes you an old-timer, a dinosaur, or a relic, you know. And some people have been here like a whole lot longer than I have. I don't know what that makes you, but you know, I feel like I've been here a long time. But anyway, as Luke Angel, the son of Terry Angel, I would like to say that I appreciate my dad. I love him very much. He's a good father. He's not a perfect man. He'd tell you that himself. But I love him and I'm thankful for him. And as a member of Faith Baptist Church, I'd like to say that I'm thankful for my pastor. And other people come through here often and tell us that we don't know what we have here. We have a great preacher. And after being away for 3 years and sitting in chapel 5 days a week and touring a little bit for the college and hearing a lot of preachers and a lot of good ones, I still love my preacher and I still love to hear him preach. And I believe we have one of the best here. And I know he's not a perfect pastor. Again, he'd tell you that. But he's a good pastor and he's a good preacher. And I'm glad that he's my pastor. And I was disappointed to see Mrs. Thompson walk out because, being a young preacher, I'm nervous, and whenever you're nervous, you kind of like to get a laugh, and you can always count on Mrs. Thomason for a laugh, and she's gone, so I don't know what I'm going to do. My crutch is not there. But anyway, we'll start reading in Romans chapter 8, and verses number 1 and 2. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And we find here in verse number 2, two laws. We have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we have the law of sin and death. And we see that it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that can free us from the law of sin and death. And it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that can bring is the reason that we're no longer condemned for the sin that we have committed before we got saved and the sin that we will commit before we go on to heaven. And I love that word Spirit. I think I love to hear about the Holy Spirit and what He does in our lives and what He does on the inside of us. And I think about that word and I think about Caleb back in the Old Testament and how the Bible says there was another spirit in Caleb that set him apart from the murmuring, pessimistic, defeatist crowd, and how that spirit stayed with him all the way up when he was 85 years old. And he said, "Hey, I haven't slowed down a bit. I'm just as feisty now as I was when I was 45 years ago when I was 40 years old." And that was young to him, I guess, at that point in time. But he said, "Give me now this mountain." And it was another spirit in Caleb that enabled him to see victories in his life. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you're saved and on your way to heaven tonight, that there's a spirit inside of you that enables you to see victories in your life. And it sets you apart from the doomed, defeated world. And that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that's what I'd like to preach on tonight. What we gain from the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And yes, as a church, we need preaching. We need preaching on sin and separation and standards and soul winning. And we need preaching on the home and on the family and the missions and giving and all that's necessary for a church. But we have to be careful that we don't get like the Church of Ephesus, where we get to the point in our lives where we find the work of God, but we lose the love of God. And we forget why it is that we do what we do and what a wonderful thing it is that God has done for us and saving us by His amazing grace. We have to be careful not to leave our first love and be like the Church of Ephesus. But anyway, tonight, I don't really have a title. I just want to preach on how good it is and why I'm thankful to be saved. And that's what I'm going to remind everybody about what we gain tonight from the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and what it is that it gives us. Number one, I'd like to show you that it gives us victory over sin's bondage. You see, we were all born under that second law, that law of the sin and death. There was nothing we could do to change it. There was nothing we could do to prevent it. There was nothing we could do about it. It was inevitable. It had already been decided a long time ago. And there was nothing we could do about it. Psalms 58, verse 3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." And you know who that's talking about? That's talking about you and me. You know, we We can get a pretty good opinion of ourselves. We can think pretty highly of ourselves until we start reading the Bible, and it shows us what we really are. And we were all sinners, doomed under the law of sin and death on our way to hell before we met Jesus. And as soon as we were born, sin's chains had already been wrapped around us. They were dragging us down a long, lonely road to hell, and it's our nature. It's what we do. It's easy for us. The effects of the curse of sin on this world are evident. We can see them in things like sickness, pain, death, heartache, the Green Bay Packers, the Chicago White Sox, crime, wickedness, evil, disease, sadness, all effects of the world being in the enslaving hand of sin's bondage. Now, some live their lives and they grow up and they those seeds of sin that we're all born with in the heart, but they have time to be watered, they have time to be fertilized, and they spring up to yield a life that is bountiful in the works of sin in the flesh. And they live their life in bondage to the devil, and they drift far, far from God, and they're lost and they're on their way to hell. There's no inner joy, no inner peace, just a pursuit to fill the emptiness that is inside. And some seek it in alcohol, some seek it in drugs, some seek it in hobbies and pastimes. Some seek it in making more and more and more money. Some seek it in adultery and pornography and perversion. And while there may be an appearance of happiness, and maybe there may be even pleasure in sin for a season, there's still no inner joy and peace. I know that there's some lost folks who are not who are relatively happy and content with their lives, but I also know that there is only one kind of joy that comes with being freed from sin's bondage. And the lost live a life under the control of the law of sin and death. And then I think about what the effects of sin and what it does, it tears down, it debilitates, it's ruined. And I think about some of the people that I've talked to as I've had the opportunity to go out soul winning and work on bus route. I think about a man named Patrick on my bus route up in Villa Park when I was at college. And I'd go and see Patrick. He's a crippled man. He lives in a wheelchair. And I'd go up and visit him on Saturday, and he'd be drunk, stone cold drunk. And then he'd be all happy and carefree. And I'd come back the next Saturday, and he'd be sober, and he'd tell me all these problems that he's having. He'd tell me how his life is a wreck. And I'd tell him, Patrick, he claims to be a saved man. I'd tell him, Patrick, you're saved. You don't have to live like that. You can have the victory. God's given you the victory over that. All you have to do is claim it, and you have to work at it. But he never got the victory over sin, and it's ruining his life. And one Saturday, I went and talked to Patrick, and there was a man named Derek in the house. And I, Derek, you could tell he was a very unstable individual, very very messed up. And so I was talking to Patrick. Derek went outside and was having a smoke. I finished up talking to Patrick, went outside and talked to Derek. And as I talked to Derek, he began to tell me about his life story and told me some things that were just horrible, horrible things. And when I got done talking with him, I felt like I needed to go and confess for even listening to the man, the things that I wouldn't feel comfortable repeating to anybody. And I was telling Derek, he was telling me, you know, I want to get this right. I want to change. I've had a good job in the past. I've been able to have a family and have kids, and you know, things were better. And I want to get back to that point. And I told Derek, I said, I have what can help you. I have the Bible. It will help you. It will change you. And he said, I want that. But he was so messed up, he couldn't even focus on what I was saying. And that's what sin does. It clouds people's minds to the point where they see, you put the truth right in front of them, and they don't even recognize it. And Paul described a group of sinners in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, and such were some of you. And that's in the past tense, that were. Such were some of you. And he goes on to say, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And you may be out there tonight thinking, yeah, I was one of those people on that list at one point in time. What I used to be is something that I'm not proud of. You know, I was lost and on my way to hell without Christ. But praise God, now I'm a such were some of you. And God reached way down into that septic tank of sin, and he pulled you out of that pit, and he came out, and you came to that well of living water, you took a deep drink, and you plunged into that fountain filled with blood, and that washed away all your guilty sins, and a new law took place in your life, and a new law took dominion in your life, and that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that gave you victory over the law of sin and death. And the devil may try to remind you of that life, the devil may try to bring that guilt back to your mind, but all you have to do is take a verse number one and say, the devil, I'm no longer condemned for that life. There's never, God's not going to condemn me for that sin that I committed back then, and there's a new law reigning in my life. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And some in this room, tonight, probably many of us, have a testimony like mine. You've never gotten into what we would call deep, deep sin. Yeah, maybe you got saved at an early age like I did. And that doesn't make us any better than anybody who got saved at a later age and got into some more wicked things. But it's a reason to be more careful, and it's a reason to be even more thankful, I think. You say, you know, I don't have a great testimony like some other people, but you do have a great testimony. You know, God, He may not have saved you out of a life of deep sin, but it's just enough a miracle of grace that He saved you from a life of deep sin. And this is what, if you think about it a little bit, and it actually starts to scare you a little bit. If you think about what you've done with the Holy Spirit inside of you, telling you, no, don't do that. No, you need to stop that. Don't do that. If you think about what you've done even with the Holy Spirit inside of you, think about what you were capable of and what you may have done without the Holy Spirit inside of you. Guess what? You are me, and probably some in this room probably would have ended up on that list that Paul talked about. And that's something we can be thankful for. And you have to be careful. You have to be careful not to become unthankful and let your salvation testimony grow old to you and become boring to you. You know, the devil would like nothing more than to trip you up and hang you on his trophy wall. You know, and he's showing off to his demons down there in hell. You know, this young man, he got saved at an early age. He came to church. There was a point in time as a teenager, he carried his Bible to church. You know, he loved his parents. He loved his pastor. But, you know, he reached a certain age, and I got him with rebellion. You know, there's a young lady right here, same thing with her. I don't know what it was. I got rebellion, and a lost guy that came into her life and tripped her up. And now she's on my trophy wall. We have to be careful. Because, you know what, we're not under that law of sin and death anymore. We're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that has dominion in our life. Now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it gives us victory over past sin in our lives, but it also gives us victory over the power of sin in our present lives, in our day-to-day. If you read through Romans chapter 6 and see how God has given us the ability to live a life free from the guilt and dominion of sin. It's so good to know that when I sin, that I have a God who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's so good to know that when I sin now, that I don't have to go to a man and confess my sin, but I'm going to try to quote it now. I don't have it in front of me. But seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. What was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what? I can go right to God the Father and say, Lord, I know that I've sinned. I know that I've messed up. Would you please forgive me? Would you please wash me? And you know what? He takes that away. I don't have to live with that guilt of that sin anymore. And because I'm not under the law of sin and death. I'm under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And when you get to the point where you think that there's a besetting sin in your life that you won't be able to kick, you're not able to get rid of, just take the go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13, and read how there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, you don't have to live under that the dominion of the law of sin and death. You can live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And when the devil tries to trip us up and get us to sin, we have to remind ourselves that that is the law that has dominion in our lives now. It gives us victory over the bondage of sin. Number two, it gives us a chance to live the abundant Christian life. And Jesus said, and I guess it goes along with your ministry, Brother Larry, that's good. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I believe that God, Jesus, was talking about our eternal life in heaven and how one day we're going to go and live up in heaven forever and ever and ever. But I also believe he was talking about life here on this earth and how those who are saved by his grace can live abundantly and with the joy of the Lord. And I believe as Christians, we have the opportunity to enjoy blessings and joys that the unsaved will never get to experience. And I'm talking about the joy of leading someone to Christ. I'm talking about the joy of seeing a life that was ruined by sin get transformed by God's saving grace. The miracle of seeing a long sought after answer to prayer. Brother Caleb mentioned it earlier. Maybe someone you taught in Sunday school or watched in the nursery grow up to be a fine married young man or married young lady and raise a family. Or maybe even go into the ministry. That's the abundant life. That's the joys that we get to experience, that God has put out there for us to experience. And why would I want to sit idly by when there's an opportunity to experience great joys and blessings? Sure, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes money. But to know that your life is making a difference, and to know that it's worthwhile and it means something to somebody, it will count for eternity, and that is what the abundant life is about. And what's more, if we take advantage of that life, the Bible says that we're going to get rewarded for it. Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. Paul said, yeah, it's been long, it's been hard, it's been rough, but I know it's worth it all, and one day when I get to heaven, Jesus is going to have a crown for me. And I think all of us would agree that Paul lived an abundant life. He took three missionary journeys, started many churches, saw many people saved. He wrote at least 13 books of our New Testament. Paul, for sure, like I said, had his shares of troubles and afflictions. But turn to, if you take your Bibles and turn to Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. I'm hurrying. I don't know what time I started. I know I only got a few minutes, and so I'm going to try. I don't think I'll go over my time amount, though. But Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 8 says, Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And Paul described that as the abundant life. He said, I have suffered the loss of all things. And you know, if you do live the abundant life, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some effort. It's going to cost you some time. Like I said, it could cost you some money. But it's worth it all. And Paul said, he counts them but dung. They're nothing. And that not only do we have the victory over sin, but we also have the opportunity to live an abundant Christian life. And my last point, which kind of goes hand in hand with Father's Day, I guess I had that on my mind. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus gives us a place in the family of God. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And on this Father's Day 2011, it doesn't matter what kind of dad you have now or had in the past. It doesn't matter what kind of relationship you had with him, whether it was a good one or a bad one. If you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, you have the greatest dad anybody could ever ask for. Of course, I'm talking about God the Father. The Bible says that we are placed in the family of God as soon as we are saved. Galatians chapter 4, verses number 3 through 6 says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And when you get saved, you receive that adoption of sons. And we become a member of God's family. And the Bible says we can become joint heirs with Christ. What an amazing, amazing facet of our salvation. And one of the most wonderful things about being in God's family is that once you're in, you're in. And the Bible says over in John chapter 10, probably the most famous verses for this, is, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And there are those out there who will try to convince you, tell you that once you get saved, you're going to lose your salvation. I'm not sure if there's anybody in this room who would actually be swayed by that opinion, but there may be. And if you are of that opinion, the Bible says that once you're in, you're in. And you can have that assurance of salvation. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret about it. Once you're in God's family. And, God is our great Heavenly Father. Some call him the man upstairs. Some call him the great superintendent in the sky, mocking his name. But not me. I call him Father. He's the best Father anybody could have. And he performs all of his fatherly duties to perfection. He provides for us, like Luke 12, 29 and 30 say, "And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." And my Bible also says in Philippians chapter 4, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." And if I had to rely on anyone's riches, I would want to rely on God the Father's riches. I'll tell you that much. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the world and all in it. And he provides for us. He protects us. He said, "I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee." And we don't always like this one, but he chastens us. But that's a good one. Hebrews 12 talks about it. "Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." And that's a good thing. God's chastisement can be severe, but it's sometimes necessary. And any good dad in this room knows that discipline and chastening is a vital part in the development of a child. And he's our Father, and we're in his family. And just to finish up this point here, kind of going along with the Father's Day and everything that we celebrate, it kind of made me think about my relationship with my dad. And we're pretty close right now. We've always been pretty close, and I don't really have too many regrets when it comes to my relationship with my dad. But if I could go back to maybe my high school years and change something, maybe that there were times where I had opportunities to go and do something with him or go travel with him when he preached, and I passed on him. And I'm sure I had something very important as a 14 or 15-year-old, I had to do. But, it's nothing major, but if I could go back in time and change that, I would go back and take every opportunity I had to spend time with my dad, to talk to him, to be around him. And I thought, when I get to the end of my life, I don't want to look back and say, "Man, I missed out on so opportunities to be with God. I missed out so much of my life. I was away from God, and I wasn't close to him. I didn't have a relationship with him, and I missed out." I want to look back and say, "You know what? I was as close to him as I could possibly be. I tried my hardest to be close to him. I tried to talk to him. I tried to read my Bible and let him talk to me." And how about you tonight? Is God familiar with your voice? Is he familiar with your heart and touching it? Is it a warm heart ready to receive his word and receive blessings out of his hand? I believe that should be everybody's desire in this room. To look back in your life and say, "I was as close to God as I could possibly be." And so, That's the last thing I'll talk about, that we gain out of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, opposed to the law of sin and death. And find my place here. Anyway, I just hope that tonight that you're reminded of how good it is, and reminded to be thankful that you're saved, and that you're no longer under the law of sin and death, but under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Amen.